Welcome to the Mailbag Review Show. I am Drew, and I am joined for this special edition by Pistol Peter from the West. Pete, how's it going?
I am very good, Drew. I'm very good.
That's I know you're very good, but how are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad. I'm looking forward to the weekend. We've got three horses running over here at Ascot, including one in the Winterbottom. So, yeah,
big fields then, if there's just three horses going around.
Well, exactly right. Yeah. You know, three horses when you're an owner is actually not too bad because obviously you're going to get prize money no matter what. And, you know, it's not the worst thing in the world to run into a small field when you have a share. But outside of that, it's rubbish for punting. But no, it's not a bad weekend. I preferred last weekend from a punt point of view early, but you know, I think there's still a bit of fat there to get into over at Ascot.
Perfect. Well, as an owner, I've got one going around at Royal Ipswich tomorrow afternoon, the last race, time to sail. She may run pretty well and is an okay place price, I reckon.
Yeah, it's always... So, I don't know, do you find it difficult when you own a horse to actually punt on them? Like, do you sort of just view it that either way, I'm going to get a result? If it runs top three, I'm going to get the cash from an owning point of view, or...?
No, I think I'm like most owners, that if I'm wanting to try and cover those training fees a little bit.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
So we've got a big week for the team, actually. So we've got Rob doing a special Friday night backing up to Saturday, so off to Canterbury, and then Rose Hill. Dicko's up in Queensland at the moment doing some Betfair functions. That's pretty exciting, and he's flying back in Saturday straight to Moonee Valley from the airport, like a little bit of a rock star. And, of course, you're at Ascot, so big week for the team.
Is Dicko going to have, like, a police escort?
He'll have some kind of escort. I'm not sure if he'll be in the chains or not, though. I know how they can get a little bit rowdy on these weekends, and geez, Gold Coast and Brisbane.
Oh, you're just going from one to the other. Like, I shouldn't knock Gold Coast. I've never been there, but I think all the rumours are true.
By a country mile, they are very true. You're more a Byron man yourself by the hairstyle.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll roll with that.
So let's get straight into it so viewers know we'll be covering Moonee Valley and then we'll be moving on and doing the main races at Perth. So that's what we're giving you today for the preview and we hope you like it. In terms of track play for Moonee Valley, we've got the rail in the true, very little rain around. There is a fair bit of wind around, so it'll be interesting to see just how much it dries out, especially on the day, and how it plays really, because 30 kilometre plus winds, they kind of get cover coming from about the 500-600 all the way down to about the 200. And you very rarely have it as a headwind, but it can really just dry out certain sections of the track and give a little bit more of an on-pace bias than it normally is, you know, when you've got a rail in the true. It generally favours on speeders. So it'll just be really interesting as the day develops to see what happens. So I'm taking the day at the moment as if any other normal true rail, I want to be favouring on speeders, but as the day progresses, we adjust.
Sounds good.
So straight into it, race one, Moonee Valley, 1,200 metres, BM78. Pete, can you give me a market?
Yeah, sure thing. So there's been a little bit of support for Behemoth, which has been around sort of that 650 mark into 550. Advancing's the same quote. The favourite, which is Smart Ellison, Alyssum, has been $2.10 out to $2.50, and Social Spin has also drifted $4.30 out to $4.80. So there's also one more horse, Misha, that's around that $5.50 mark. So the market's, you know, what can you say for a seven horse field?
It's fairly tight, but I think there's a bit of a bet here, so we'll work our way through it. So Ashtrain and Smart Alyssum should probably be going forward. Misha and Advancing should both be kicking up, and I think Misha gets run of the race. And then you'll have Social Spin, potentially a bit cast, three back the fence, needing a bit of luck, and then Behemoth and being Coney Magic out the back as well. Smart Alyssum looked a really good horse, but its last two runs, it's completely failed at Rose Hill and Caulfield, only had a small break. Look, group class back to BM70. It's got a lot to prove, I still think, based on what it's done. So in the words of Admiral Akbar, it's a trap, the price, in my opinion. I will be taking it on. Good old Admiral. Social Spin, probably the second best horse in the race, I would say. It's a very good horse. It's progressive. Coming off a 4-month break. look, its two-year-old figures were really good, had a good trial at Camperdown, thanks to Nico for that information. I just think it needs a bit of luck from where it lands, and I think it's probably the second-best runner in the race and second-best chance. Advancing won a strong maiden on the lead-in. It was a soft track, you know, it was a pretty good win, but this is a big jump in grade. I'll respect it. I'm not saying that I'd be laying it, but I don't want to be backing it. It all kind of just leads me to this one horse called Misha. I think it maps perfectly, one out, one back. It's coming in off a 2.3-length win, and to my eye, it should have won by at least four lengths. So it just resented where it got in the run, which was back the fence. It had to be held up, held up, held up. Finally got a clear run, only the last 150 metres at Moonee Valley, and it just sprinted away from them. I think this is a really progressive horse. I think the price that we're getting bet is amazing. Like, I'm looking at these horses, I'm going, what's the one that's really on the up? And this is by far the one. I've got Michi on board, got the right jockey. I think 56.5 against, you know, a couple of the others in here, Social Spin at 59. I think I'm well in, and the horse is suited here, and the step up 1,000 metres to 1,200 is ideal. This would be my next best bet of the day. So I'm pretty keen early.
Oh, Linda Meech hopefully spurs on. That's the stuff that dreams are made of.
Mate, she sleeps in spurs. I would be shocked if I saw her walking down the street without some on.
Oh, jeez. Don't get me excited, Drew. A Linda Meech special to start the day, and it's still bedtime over here, basically. Oh.
Well, I know how to cool you down, because race two is not a lot to talk about.
Oh, okay. Well, in that case, I'll take them. We'll run through the market. So the favorite is Namimo. With Craig Williams, Namimo. Around 360. First Responder sounds like what Dicko will need up in Queensland. $5.50. Brooklyn Hustle, also what would be happening up in Queensland, $5.50. But there's been a lot of money for it, which sounds about right for a Brooklyn Hustle. $7.50 into $5.50. Yes, yes, yes. Who names these horses?
That also going to be happening up in Queensland?
So we've got First Responder, Brooklyn Hustle, yes, yes, yes. And then Oso Rewarding. Yes, yes, yes is $7. Oso Rewarding, $9. Floriate Pika, $10. Company Lime, $13. Favorite Things, $17. Upwards the rest. My goodness.
Okay, so I'm very quickly going to go through this. There's loads of unexposed form here. Only three runners have had a run, and I don't think they're the three that will be winning this. I think Dicko's yard mail here is crucial. He's been nailing these two-year-old races, and I will trust him again. Quickly from Nico's trial report information, not going to give too much away, but I think First Responder, Brooklyn Hustle, Floriate Pika and Favorite Things and Namimo, I think is how we're going to say it, have all done enough to be considered. So look, wide open race, yard race by mounting yard mail.
It will be one of those. I mean, I actually enjoy playing two-year-old races in mounting yard mail. It's actually quite fun. You just get to forget about everything and just use your eyes. But, yeah, outside of that, God, what a boring race to try and get into early days. All right, race three, Drew. What have we got? It's
three-year-old fillies. Yeah, BM70. Yeah.
All right. My pendant.
What have we got market-wise?
Yeah, my pendant, $4.20 for Willow again. Notation, $4.80. Which has been a bit of a drift by the looks. Opened up around that sort of $4 mark. Our Long Sally. I'm not even sure that makes sense. $5.50, again, tiny bit of support in from $6.50. Al Nafa, $6.50. Solar Stars, $9.50. Vivi Valentina, $11. And No Joy, $12, which has been had a fair bit of support. It opened up 21 into 12, upwards the rest.
Good old Steffi Thornton on board. Damn, she just rides Moonee Valley well. This Vivi Valentina, do you think they've accidentally just held down the caps lock when they've put in the name and they've just held it on for Vivi and then turned off for Valentina and it's just gone in as capitals?
Is it Roman numerals perhaps? Is it 66 Valentina?
Potentially. I'm surprised you knew the Roman numerals, so good on you.
Yeah. Oh, look, something in the brain works every now and then. That is quite strange though. You don't often see caps lock on horses.
I'm just going to have like my next one's just going to be called Caps Lock and it's all going to be in capitals.
Yep.
That'll be a fun one. these are what probably the trickiest races you'll find. So I always go back and just have a look and try and count how many of these horses have won their last race. Six of the 11 runners in this race are coming out of winning a race. So you've got progressive horses on the up, and you've got some that have been tested at this level and probably have more to give as well. So they're all pretty much second or third up into their prep, apart from maybe one or two of them. So you haven't seen the best of them. They're three-year-olds, they're fillies, they're still maturing. So what they've done to date on the data, there's every chance that you'll have one, two, or even three of them progress past it. So starting from that basis, it's a very tricky race. I'd expect Notation to lead them around. There's a fair bit of speed here, actually. Soaring Eagle, El Nifa, Solar Star, and even Viva Valentina should all be pushing forward. For mine, I think Solar Star maps for run of the race, just going to sit right behind them throughout. And just Riordan, he just needs to get off the rails early, I think. That's going to be the only thing that potentially stops a horse. But on all the data figures on its last couple of runs, I think it's a really good chance at double-figure odds. My Pendant's going to get back. Look, comes out of a solid maiden win on a softer track at Sandown. Stable's flying. I can't knock it, but it will need the track to be playing correctly for it to have its chances. Viva Valentina maps also for a perfect run, probably one or two back on the outside. It'll be in the right spot at the 200, and it'll be, you know, presenting itself at the right time. It's a tough race. If you twisted my arm, I'd be playing Solar Star and Viva Valentina at double figure odds just for something small each. But outside of that, I can't really be near the favorite at the odds. But once again, it's a really open race.
I really was taken by My Pendant as a horse. I remember watching that mounting yard where I saw it parade. And I'm just, in general, a big fan of Mark Chittick and Waikato Studs. So keen to see how this horse does. And as you said, yeah, I want to be watching the first couple of races and see if they can make ground, if it's looking like an even track, or if it's more tempo related. I'm not sure there's going to be a great deal of speed in this race. It looks pretty even to me. So if they're able to make ground, I might jump in if Dicko gives it a positive push. But I'm a fan of the horse and what it's done so far in its brief career.
And it depends what price they bid us. I mean, they're giving us fours at the moment. I've got it marked 540, right?
Yeah.
So it only needs a small drift to be back where I want it to be. And I've marked it harshly based on the fact that I'm saying, in terms of where a couple of the others are sitting, I think they're better favoured. So as you said, if they can run on by this stage already, and we're seeing that there's a bit of a trend there, I'm marking it shorter than what it is, yeah, definitely.
Exactly. That's why it's good having the two-year-old race and that god-awful small field in the first. At least then you can get an idea if there's any idea or if there's any sort of mapping tendencies or anything like that, which is always good.
Well, speaking of bad races, race 4, 1500 meters, BM64 on a Saturday. What are we doing?
I don't know. What are you, in Queensland?
Are we in, I don't know, Tasmania? Like, it's just weird. A BM64.
Well, the market, 1500 meters, Drew. Here we go. We'll be here for a while because Five Kingdom, $5. $5, that ain't shit. It's been 650 into five. Hostar, $6. Second Marriage, $6.50. I wonder who named that. Anyway, there's been a bit of support for Second Marriage. The horse, not the principal. It's $10 into 650. The Regiment, $7.50. Tanto Bianco, $9.50. What a Shock, $10. So You Dream, $11. Kulama Bay is $15 upwards. The rest, I can't be bothered. There's too many of them.
Yeah, massive wide open race. Expecting speed on a fair bit of it. Full of theories. Louisville Lip, Drysdale Spirit, Spalding Cove, Tanto Bianco from out wide, and even Kulama Bay can all push forward. Favorite Five Kingdoms going to sit three back the rails. Going to need luck from there, I reckon, because there's every chance this is a 1,500-meter race. But there's every chance they'll get something caught three wide. So it's just going to be an awkward spot for the favorite. Going to need a little bit of luck there, I would say. That being said, it's got the ability and it can win. Full of Theories is a horse I've got a bit of time for. I think at Moonee Valley, I like a horse that realistically doesn't have to make its own luck. Paddy Maloney goes okay, especially on a front runner. You'll lead him around. The horse will give a kick. It's got the data that it can actually, you know, win this race if there's a few unlucky runners behind of the horses that, you know, have the most ability. Outside of those two, What a Shock's probably the most interesting runner for mine. It's mapping to probably sit midfield one off. It should get its chance. Down in grade, hasn't been within three lengths of a win this prep, but I think decent barrier speed on. The horse just looks well-suited at odds to me. I think it's one that if Dicko has it in his top four, I don't need it to parade at top. I want it to be in his top four, and I'll have something very small on at least. There's a bit of money, obviously, for the regiment and for Hostar and also Second Marriage. They all map out the back. They're kind of all pen jobs if it's been, you know, leader-biased or, sorry, on-speed favoured. People don't like us using the word biased these days when I'm trying to say exactly the same thing. On-speed favoured. Those horses are going to have a real struggle. They're all mapping horribly out the back. And just off of Nico's notes, I believe Hoster's not performed particularly well in a trial as well in the lead-in. So that's a good lead against the horse for me. So if you're twisting my arm here, I do have Five Kingdom on top, but it needs luck. I think Full of Theories is a really good horse and it can run a good race with not needing luck. And What a Shock if it's in the yard numbers is progressive enough at double figures that I'd want to be on it. But not overly investing in a BM64 on a Saturday at Moonee Valley.
It's funny because as you were talking through the field draw, I just had a quick look at some of the data and the two horses I landed on basically as soon as you mentioned them were both What a Shock and Full of Theories. In terms of the horses, that given that there probably will be speed, I wanted to find a few that have the proven track record of being able to cope with a tough early speed and being able to go on with it and finish off the race. And they're the two that stand out, potentially Hostar as well. But if there is that little bit of a knock for it, then yeah, it looks like there's a little bit of value in that race. I'll be looking forward to the yard.
Definitely. And look, I just want to give a big shout out to Nico Noonan who does the trial reports, because that type of information is just critical when you can go into a race and you can kind of be liking three or four runners and then if something's trialed poorly on the lead in, that just kind of lets you go, okay, I'm just going to downgrade this a little, and then you go, okay, well maybe I do have an edge here on the market based on what I've got now. So it's just those little things that just help out with the form. That's the small one percenters, I reckon.
Yeah, exactly right. Alrighty, race 5, 1600 meters. What sort of race is this? It says unknown here.
BM 84 over 1600 meters.
Fillies and mares. All right, we've got Snogging as the favorite, $3.60, just in front of Mintha, which is $3.70. Shakur is $4.20. Smart as you think is $6. Penny to sell $14. Upwards the rest. There hasn't really been too much money flying around in this race by the looks.
Well, there's no surprise because they won't be flying around here. There is no speed runner in the race. Tifa Choose. Tifa How Chew. Am I going to say that?
As in,
like Jimmy Choo?
Yeah, as in Jimmy Choo.
Tifa Choo. So, okay, so they're kind of going the two route. I get it. Okay, that's fair enough. I'll pay that.
Yeah.
Smart as you think can go forward as well. It's not a natural leader. So there's a real lack of tempo here. And it may just set up to be a bit of a sit and sprint race, which it kind of muddies up the waters, but there are a few decent types that can sprint here. So I'll just quickly go through the race. I'm not overly keen to bet, but I'll go through the main runners. Dunkeld Cup winner, Penny to Sell, Dicko's nemesis. He hates this horse because it knocked us off on a big bet at 150 to 1 probably a month back now, and it started $2 in the Dunkeld Cup when it won. Maps for the ideal spot, one out, one back, has the ability, can sprint out, sprint home, but doesn't have the best sprint home of all the runners, but it's going to position in front of them. Mintha, Dicko found this from the yard and it didn't kind of do a lot at Sandown, but that was it first up. It was a brutally run race and it had every right not to run on if it needed the run still. So if it just had a little bit of, you know, steel to come in the legs. Steps back in grade significantly, going to get a really soft run. On its data, it's got the ability to sprint over the top of them. Snogging's the other big chance. Rails in run, likely behind leader. Wasn't bad in that group three. Once again, it's got a sprint in it. Shakura maps terrible for me. I think it's going to be out the back unless they do a change of tactics, and I don't think it's got the ability off a slow tempo. They're the main runners. if you twist my arm once again, I'd be playing Mintha and Penny to Sell to win, but I am not very keen once again.
Drew, I'd be amazed if a horse won that race. That is absolutely goddamn awful.
Well, this is where something like Queen Leonora, where we'll just get willowed because Danny O'Brien will improve it out of the ground and, oh.
No,
you'll bet into him, you're like, aren't I an idiot?
That race will be abandoned, punters. Don't even worry about it. we'll move to race six, Fillies and Mares Benchmark 84. Isn't that exactly what we just had? I don't know. Is that what you have there?
Sorry, look, just going back to it. It was a BM 84 1600 metres. So we're going to a 1000 metre sprint BM 84 for okay. Fillies and Mares.
Oh, how good are Fillies and Mares races? My goodness, just.
All especially when they're all off the regimate.
Oh, well, exactly. Victoria flying. They should put everyone off the regimate and see how the state goes. Grey Shadows, your favourite, $3.90. Feel the Flute, Rewarding Laughter, around that $7.750 mark. Essence of Terror, $8. Queen Annabelle, $8.50. Urak, $9. Unique Lovely, $9.50. Belwazi, $11. Honey Esprit, $12. The rest are longer than that. And again, not too much money's gone around early.
Lots of speed on. Honey Esprit, Aranino, Feel the Flute. Then Belwazi goes forward. There's just a lot of speed on here, and I think it just sets it up for a progressive horse from off the speed. Now, there's a couple of them. Rewarding Laughter comes into the race after a three-week break. Massive 3.5-length win in Adelaide. Maps for run of the race. Jeez, it'll be hard to beat if it's good enough, and you're getting a decent price on it, I think. So they're giving you money, you know, they're giving you the chance to find out on it. I mean, you're getting $7.50. I think that's a bit of a steal. I've got it marked well shorter than that. Grey Shadow, very good type, poor draw. That is the massive negative, but it's coming off a fifth in a listed grade race at Caulfield. It's a good horse. It's the best horse in the race, potentially, and that's not knocking Unique Lovely, who's also a good horse, but it's a horse in the race and it's hard to beat. Just where it maps, it's potentially going to get cast, so it's hard to back. And yeah, Unique Lovely, same thing. Second up here. It's an open grade winner at course and distance. It's got the ability. It just needs the luck in running. So I think Rewarding Laughter gets run of race. I could play it each way here. That would be the way I'd be betting into the race.
All righty then. I've just completely turned off all the prices. Ignore me, punters.
Just fair enough. So
thinking music race, for me, Drew.
Yeah, race 7,000 metres, open grade race. I'll just switch over to it and get the prices up. Got to love it when you close all the tabs, don't you?
I've got them here, got them here. So, perfect. Invincible Owl, $3.40. Ken's Dream, $4.20. Owl Luca, $4.80. Thermal Current, $5. Jeez, how's that for an early market? Holy Blade, $11. Carlingford and Angry G are $17 or so. And Pravro and Diamond Oasis are a bit longer than that.
So, being a Perth man, you know a lot of these horses, right?
No.
You wouldn't? So you'd know Thermal Current, obviously.
Oh, I've heard of him, and I think we backed him, you know,
yep.
About 80-1 or something the other week. It was pretty
yep,
handy.
At Flemington and got the win.
Yeah.
You'd know Ken's Dream?
Yep. That was another horse that I would have backed at some stage.
Definitely. You'd probably know Invincible L because he's always flashing home.
Oh, I don't like those sort of flashy types. Yeah. They can go in the bin.
So there's some pretty good sprinters here. It's an open grade race worth 100K, so I think it's a true Saturday grade race. I'm not backing any of them.
Nah.
So
that market's rubbish, isn't it?
Look, I think this is actually the betting race of the day because of the map. So I'm hoping at this stage of the day, we've got a really good feel on it, and this is where we can either unload, especially if we get a positive from the yard. I think our Luca is the bet of the day. There's no speed around to compete with the horse to go forward. Its start is exceptional. It's a 1,000-meter horse. It's coming. Look, last start, it proved its ability, led them around. Its final 200 meters was a bit shaky. So that's where I see the horse stepping back to the 1,000 metres as a huge benefit. Stethorn and on, 52 kilos. It's going to be leading at the 200, and you're going to be get in the run for your money. You're going to have all these really good horses like Thermal Current, Invincible L, Ken's Dream. They're all going to be back, giving it 2 to 3 lengths minimum at the turn. She's just going to sneak away from them. She's just going to start going at the 600, just rail like a greyhound and just to steal it from them.
Sounds good.
I must obviously touch on the others. Thermal Current flying, Invincible Star flying, Ken's Dream needs the run. Outside of those, Angry G's an okay horse, Holy Blade's an okay horse, but the way this race is going to be run, I can just see Steph stealing it. She's just superiorly, you know, well weighted here. To be fair, Invincible is well weighted as well, 51 kilos, but it just gets too far back. So as long as there's a little bit of favoritism to the on speed, this is going to be my bet of the day each way.
And there's a lot of relatively inexperienced jocks in this field as well. I mean, you've got Willow obviously there, and you've got Johnny Allen, but outside of that, you know, Harry Coffey is probably your most experienced jock in the field. So I guess every chance that if they're not overly proactive and Steph Morton rolls forwards, she'll get it her own way, which is always nice.
Yeah, and she's riding at 14% the last 50 rides, and she's a 60% ROI return. So she's in sensational form, and I can tell you Moonee Valley is her stomping ground.
Goodbye, Steph. She should probably have a trip over here at some stage if she likes Moonee Valley. Just get a go at Ascot.
Oh, Lucy Rorick would be replaced very quickly, and that's no disrespect to Lucy, who is a sensational rider, but, geez, Steph can ride those front runners.
Oh. Alrighty, Drewsy, race 8. We've got a benchmark 90 handicap over 2,040 metres. Your favourite is Al Galeo with Willow once more. He's riding a lot of favourites. 320, top prospect, $5. Mahamadeus, $7.50. Lycurgus, $8. Our big Mike, $9. Ribbon the Spare around that $10 mark. Pleasuring and Captain Rhett around $12. Much upwards the rest. And again, not a whole heap of money early days either.
Once again, not a surprise when there's only one leader in the race in Our Big Mark, the New Zealand import. You very rarely see a massive go because they just can't predict where the horse is going to settle. Because when you look at this speed map here, right, I would say there's four horses you can probably map that are going to sit, you know, filling probably the top 4 to 6 positions, right? And then you've got 8 others who they could sit last or they could sit midfield. So it's a really strange map, and it's a really tough one overall. Going into it, look, Big Mike's going to lead them. Ribbon Despair's going to go forward. Omnicom Ruler and Lycurgus should sit forward, and the rest I've just got no clue about, so I'm not going to talk to you too much about that. But you can make your own minds on the map. With that happening, I don't think there's going to be a load of speed with Big Mike. He'll just be allowed to go around at benchmark or slightly slower than benchmark. El Galil's a horse I got a lot of time for. It hit $1.12 in play last start at Flemington when it looked home, but got ran down by a good one in Savakul. The harder they go, the better for this horse. So it'll be really interesting where it gets to from the barrier. It does have a good barrier, so it should at least be able to sit midfield. It's probably the top chance in the race. Top prospect showed a solid turn of foot at Flemington. Look, barrier's a concern, but I think it does have improvement to come. I just have to back Dicko in here. So this is more, it's backed up by the data as well, and by the fact that Lycurgus will probably sit more forward than the previous start. But Lycurgus hit, I think, $1.03 in play last start when we were on it at 70s from Dicko's pick in at Flemington. And he did note, this is by far the best-looking horse in the yard. I'm just got a query that it's still probably one or two short, right? And it's run really well for third for us. It's looked home, but it's just run out of fitness. It's had 3 or 4 weeks between runs. It's ready to go. It's going to get the perfect spot. It's not going to have to do a lot of work. And they're just going to have a really hard time running it down from that spot and running. I can see us having a pretty big play if Dicko sees that it has improved from the yard.
Sounds great. I know I was watching Our Big Mike's parade at Kyneton. I think it was a cup, wasn't it? Look, it was walking out really well in the parade. Interested to see if where Dicko finds it on Saturday, especially if it's one of those only leader sort of types. But
Look, I'm not sure it's got the ability. This is I was looking at the exact same horse at Kyneton, trying to find it from the yard and trying to see if I could get it some improvement on its numbers based on what it had done. And I'll be interested to see how it goes. I reckon it's probably a country cup horse, and that's where it rates best. And this may be, I think El Galil would be winning any country cup that it went to, is what I would say.
Yep.
So I think it may just be a step below these.
All righty. Race 9, the benchmark 78 handicap over 1,200 metres. Serious Suspect, $4. Demolition, $4.40. Like to Think So, $5. Magnesium Rose, $9. Prezzato's, $9.50. Blazjowski, $12. They're just making up names now, aren't they? XL Tara, yep. 13. Sheriff Johnstone, 17. So is Easy Beast and upwards the rest. In terms of a bit of moolah, Demolition's been about $5.50 into $4.40. Like to think so has had support with $6.50 into $5.50 or so. And Serious Suspects had a little bit of support too.
Perfect. A load of front-running chances here with Easy Beast, Blazjowski, Like to Think So, Sheriff Johnstone, Cash Crisis, Favonski, and Serious Suspect all going forward. So speeds can be hot. Likely to be a line of four of them wide, I reckon, going to the first turn. So making runs from the back is going to be a little bit iffy, and you're going to have quite a few falling back at the turn. And it's going to kind of make a race where it's really hard to win from the back, which works against the favorite, Demolition, who's trialed really well into this. It's got the ability to fly past them, but its last couple of runs here, it's always just flown but not been able to get there. Like to Think So it comes into this race really well. 3 weeks between runs, 1,400 back to 1,200 after a very strong on-speed run at Morphettville. I think this horse will find the line, and I just think it comes into the race extremely well. I think from the barrier, that's my only concern, but if they push across and try and lead, I think they're good shot. Outside of that, Serious Suspect was given a 11 out of 10 ride by the Chop King, who I note is not on this time when he's run second at Flemington. The data backs it up, though. It was a really good ride, but a really good run by the horse. Barrier 3, it'll get the right spot in running. It's hard to take it on. Magnesium Rose is a horse I have a lot of time for from the past. Concussion Plates off first up. That's a big push and stable intent for me. It's trialed pretty well, and I have to respect it. But once again, it is a get-back run-on horse from Barrier 13, likely to be cast unless they take a decent toe four wide and they're going to have to cover ground. XL Tara, another horse with a bit of ability. Probably can't have it in this grade, but once again, it gets back, it'll run on. It's a tough race. If you twist my arm once again, I'd say Serious Suspect and Like to Think So would be my two small bets in the race. But it's not something that I'm particularly keen to get involved in.
All righty, Drew. Do we have a best, a roughie, a cooler, or a lay of the day? Do you have any of those?
Definitely. So best bet of the day, Al Luca, race 7, number 5. I'm taking it each way. I think it'll be there at the 100 leading, and if something runs it down, so be it. But I'll be shocked if we miss a place, and I'll be shocked if we lose. Next best is race 1, number 4, Mishka, however we want to say it. And bit of odds, you get an 8s or something each way, rewarding laughter. I think that was race 6 by memory, but I'll just quickly have a scroll back for it. Race 6, number 2. Rewarding laughter. They're my three for the day, and I definitely want to be taking on the favourite in the first.
All righty. Outstanding. Go well, Druzy. Looking forward to Saturday for a bit of Moonee Valley.
Well, mate, it's going to be pretty good. Quick one. We've just had a couple of Twitter questions. Maddie, completely off topic, is Dicko going to participate in the Mountain Goat Beer Run? Do you want to handle this? I've got a fair response to this one.
I bloody well hope so, Matty. I bloody well hope so. It'd be un-Australian and it'd be un-captain-like for him to not step up to the plate, to take one. Look, we've had this commentary during the week between Jared Waitley and Michael Clark, and at some point as captain of the mailbag team, you actually have to step up and need to show some initiative. And if that means you've got to run multiple kilometres while indulging in some of the finest summer ales that Mountain Goat can produce, well, then you bloody well do it. You harden the fuck up.
I like that response. Mine's a little bit more on the other side. I was going to say, judging by his brief VFL career and the fact that he wouldn't get a start in an under-16s team with the lack of run and defensive pressure that he put into his game that's now required, I think he's a bit iffy to run out the solid 5 kilometres. I'm probably more of a chance for the team. What do you reckon?
Oh, look, you know, don't make me fly over there. That's all I'll say. February 10th. Oh, dear. It's on a Sunday as well. So
let's go sign him up and we'll make him run.
How bloody good is that? That's outstanding.
I mean, I'm happy to pass off beers to him during the race from like a little like moped or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
I ain't running it.
The run will last for around 2 to 3 hours, depending on how long you want to stop at each brewery. So that sounds like a 24-hour event for me.
Look, we could make that a 24-hour. It isn't on like the Sunday
the 10th of February. So I don't even know what time of year that is.
I think that's drinking time. That's going to be perfect weather.
Yeah, exactly right.
We may have to make a marathon of it. So let's have a quick look at the Ascot card as well for the punters, because they're all going to be wanting to bet over there because the racing gets underway about 4 o'clock my time. So that's race one. What races are you wanting to look at? What are the ones we really want to be looking into, the group races, right?
Well, yeah, exactly. This weekend there's not a whole lot of group racing. In fact, there is only the Winterbottom Stakes. That's a group one. The rest of the races are competitive. There's some really big fields. The quaddy is basically impossible. Race six is our version of the regional championships, blah, 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 which is actually quite hilarious because you actually don't need to reside in a provincial or regional area to qualify. You actually just need to take your horses there. So we've got horses, you know, we've got a few of them that are like from Geraldton, the Kikos from Geraldton. You know, the Pierce boys are based in Pinjarra. And then you've got Simon Miller, who was trying to qualify horses, and he's got Fine Scent. He's based at Ascot, so he's actually a 30-second walk away from the track. It's just a complete schmozzle. Anyway, that's classic WA at the moment. It's just like, she'll be right. Anyway, that race six is a complete nightmare. I still don't know who I'm actually going to even suggest as a possible bet in that race.
Let's give them what they want. Let's just go straight into the Winterbottom right now. 1200 meters, race seven on the card. I'll just give them some prices and you can just tell us what you think of them. So you got Vidora threes into 280, Enticing Star 550, Still Firm, Malaguerra tends out to 11s, Voodoo Lad tends out to 11s. I'll have a bit 11s. Runson 13s, my mate Malibu Style, who landed a big bet for us at Flemington from Dicko's Mail, 15s, Dainty Test 15s, Ashlaw 21s, Durandal's 26s, Wivella Roads, Prophet Street 34s, Beltoth 41s, Siani 41s, and your mate Rebel King 150s into 50s.
Yeah, so obviously I do have a stake in Rebel King. He has been my boy for a while now. Since he was basically one. So he's been around. He's now seven. He shouldn't be that price, even 50-1. I think he's like at most, and this is me being conservative, he's a 30-1 shot. His PB is at Ascot. His race earlier in the year, when he won the Scenic Blast Stakes, he basically beat Dainty Tess and Battle Hero. Dainty Tess is a $14 shot? $15 shot. And his data that he recorded for that race overall on puntingform.com.au would put him right in the finish of this race, as would his last victory at Belmont, where he beat Man Booker and Prophet Street. And Prophet Street's also in this race as well. Man Booker ran fifth in a railway. So either of those two performances would have him with a figure that would be competitive, and we're talking within a length of the average required to win this race. And he gets gate four. He gets bar shoes off for the first time in quite a while. The horse is actually fully fit and fully sound. Jared Noski jumps on. And Darren McAuliffe, the trainer, D-Mac, is absolutely flying. He had a horse run second in the railway last week, which had a bar shoe on. Like, you just don't see that happen. Any other trainer around the country, if they put a bar shoe on, the horse may as well not even be there. So The trainer's flying, stable's flying, horse's flying, jockey's very, very, very good, gets a perfect gait, and you're still getting 50 to 1. Like, you've just, I'm not going to have a horse place in a Group 1 race and not collect a car out of it. That's basically what I'm saying. If he runs fifth, so, I'd be ecstatic. But if he runs top three, I'm going to take full toll on what's on offer.
If so I, you're going to get out there, the final 50 metres, you're going to try and push him over the line yourself.
Exactly. You'll see me pick him up and carry him across the line. Mind you, he won't need to. I remember probably the best quote is Rob Scurry when he took the gap in that race where he was protested against, if everyone remembers that from back at Belmont. Rob called him a brave horse, like he takes gaps, and that's probably one thing that's going to be required here, because if we have a look at the speed, so obviously there's going to be a fair bit of it. Runson has drawn horribly in gate 15, but he still might be quick enough to actually get to the front. I think he is the only horse in the field, other than My Boy, who is actually worth a bet at the current prices. I think Vidora is just too short. For a horse that can drift back in the field, in my opinion, yes, she has recorded good figures, but the races that she's won on the whole haven't been particularly hard run, and they haven't really returned great figures overall. She can still record a good figure, but for me, it's been less than 1,200. I think you're going to need a pretty good 1,200-meter figure overall to be winning this. So I'm prepared to take on Vidora unless she parades just outstanding. I know there's all this mail saying the horse is flying, and yes, they've been aiming it up the race since July, but I don't think it's necessarily a clear-cut race where you can just say, yep, Vidora just wins. I'm not sure it's that sort of race, because she'll have around her horses like I'll Have a Bit, Enticing Star, Dainty Tess, all these other horses that have equally good turns of foot. It's just going to be who gets the better run. Vidora might very well end up in a situation where she's got, I don't know, maybe a horse like Malaguera falling into its lap. I don't know why Malaguera is over here, to be honest. It's raced once in the last year. Unless the Gelagotis boys are geniuses, I just can't see how it's going to be up to this sort of level. Malibu Style, I've got a lot of time for coming back to Ascot. The only issue I have is all of its best figures have been over 1,100 or 1,000. It's got that small query over it being at 1,200. I think the other best of the interstaters besides Runson is I'll Have a Bit. I do have a lot of time for this horse in terms of the sectional data it's able to perform over races that have a bit of speed. Voodoo Lad, I presume, is going to be back last, but if it settled up close, then that would be a chance. But and look,
not from 14.
Yeah, exactly. And the other horse that I think from a local hope that will have a lot of interest is Enticing Star. But the major
Blinker's first time.
Yeah, she trialed with them in a trial with Rebel King, funnily enough, and look, didn't really seem to make much of an impression. The major knock with her is, although she's got this electric turn of foot, she's only ever shown it in races that have been slowly run. So this is going to be a completely different ball game for her. So no one knows how she's going to perform. I expect she'll drift as a result. I think the big teams will take her on the day. So you'll probably get upwards of $8 late. And I want to see her parade, not like she did last start, because that was still good, even though she was in season, you couldn't tell. But the start before, she walked better. So that's what I'm going to be looking for. And she doesn't walk like that. She's just going to have a line put right through her. Prophet Street's been parading really well. He's a blowout chance for placings. He just needs a bit of luck from gate two. Overall, I've got him Runson on top. It's hard to know. It's almost one of those where you just wait to see when the gate's open. If Bastard takes it straight to the front, I want to be on. If Bastard decides to do something stupid and settle, try and go get cover or three wide, no cover or something like that. Yeah, just put a line through it. So Runson's my top pick. Look, Vidora, it's going to be thereabouts, but I just don't want to take the price, to be honest. I'd rather stay out of the race or have a small bet each way on Rebel King, which I've done more than have a small bet. I'll Have a Bit, Voodoo Lad, Prophet Street. They're the ones I'm going to be looking for in the yard. But yeah, look, I don't actually think it's a great race to be betting into the winter bottom.
Look, you give me a bit more confidence because people, I'm sure they probably guessed it. We have a group chat for all the mailbag guys and we just toss around ideas and horses we like. And I said to you guys, geez, this Runson, it's run in better times home in its race on the same day as the, what was it, the Moya?
Yeah.
It's run better times home and gone out faster. It was a sensational run. Yeah, it goes up 3.5 kilos, but it's not that much. Like, it's going to be massively competitive. I said, it doesn't matter what barrier, I want to be on it. And you're getting a massive price to find out. So I'm even more keen now that you're keen as well.
I think that's the thing. You're getting the price to find out, whereas Vedora, you know you're going to need a little bit of luck. And really, yeah, the fastest run race she's been in her last 10 starts, in terms of we're comparing all these sort of times or these lengths to what this race we think will be running, she's basically run one length faster than what this race potentially would be. And that was in the 1,000-meter Moya Stakes, where she won by 1.3 lengths. I think it's going to be a fair bit quicker than that. You've got horses like Runson, we've also got from WA, Vala Road, who's got a lot of toe. So, for instance, his last start, he was leading five lengths faster than what would be the expected value in this race. We've got Belter as well, who is a free-rolling horse, and he's a very stupid horse as well. He's got gate one. So if Vala Road or Runson tries to try and get past it, Belter's going to just kick up and try and outrun him, full stop. And then you've got other horses like, you know, Malibu Style, Rebel King will be handy as well. You've got a fair bit of speed in this race. Ashlaw can go forward as well. It'd be interesting to see what they do with that horse from Adelaide. So there's going to be enough speed to genuinely question Vedora. The race that she won here last year was not a high quality race. It wasn't even fast run. I've got huge queries on her at the price turning up. Even if she is cherry ripe and all the rest of it, I'm not going to be betting her in the yard. I'd rather have one unit at tops from the mounting yard male perspective, as opposed to saying Vedora looks great, let's have five units.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. Anything else on the card that you're liking that you want to give a bit of a lead into, or are we going to leave the rest for the podcast members?
Look, I'm not going to take all of Dates' thunder, because the boy's in absolutely, he's flying at the moment. But there are two others that I'll be looking for from a mounting yard male point of view. Actually, three others, because we've already sent one as a mover. That's race five, number three, Rising Sea. This is a race where there is no other leader other than it. It raced very well behind Spillanova last start, which was crushed. We sent that on top and Mounting Yard Mail. I think in the end it was $5.50 into $2.80 or something like that. Spillanova went straight to the front and pissed in. But Rising Sea was right behind it, doing all the donkey work and leading up the field, and ran second. It gets Jared Noski back on board, and it has every chance of dictating this race. If there's any sort of leader bias at Ascot, and generally speaking, you want to be on pace, Rising Sea will be very, very hard to get past. Royal Command in the same race, $1.80 versus $6. I'd rather take the $6 Rising Sea with a horse that will definitely be leading, as opposed to Royal Command, which will be back somewhere with Pike trying to do his God mode thing once more, and we'll probably nab us on the line, but not before we give a good shout and call him a prick doing so. Race one, speaking of on-speed horses, Agent Pippa. Joey as a party jumps back on. Joey's got two gears, lead or last.
Yeah.
Agent Pippa leads. $3 leads, wins. That's it. That's as much as my comprehension of the race could be. Look, there is other pace with Jing Tang and Chinetti, but Agent Pip has been leading far, far quicker than these horses can possibly even imagine. Tango Aura has been racing in bloody Albany. So Pippa, for me, should just ping the lids, go straight to the front, and unless there's the rail in 3 metres for some reason, the track's just completely deteriorated, which would be amazing considering we've had no rain here. Yeah, she just really should be very, very hard to beat. I'd be amazed if she doesn't come in from that $3 mark. And we'll go to race eight. There's a very interesting horse here. I struggle to send it out as a bet because the Trevor Andrews is one of the better-known trainers in WA, but he has had probably the driest spell since, I don't know, insert person who's had dry spell. like, he's been going the last 100 days at a strike rate of like 4%, I think. Yeah, 4%, which is far, far below his average. So Illustrious Tycoon is a very, very talented horse. All these figures are dynamite. It should lead as well. And again, it's got Jared Noski on board, who in case punters can't tell, is one of my favourite jocks. The market tends to miss him just a little bit, but he is as hard a rider as anyone in WA. And if he's in a battle with, say, Pike in the last 50 metres, you can sure as hell guarantee that the heavyweight jock in Noski will be punching the horse in the back of the head just as hard, if not harder. So, look, Illustrious Tycoon, if it gives any sort of parade, and in the past, I remember seeing it first ever start, it was at Belmont, it was $14, sent it out. This is when I was doing stuff on Twitter, and there it was, like straight away, bang, saluted, and it hasn't looked back. It's only had two more starts, and they've won both of those. This horse should be able to jump, go straight to the front, dictate, and lead. The only way I won't be betting it is Trevor always has his horses parading perfect. If this thing turns up looking like a skunk, then you'd have to suspect it's going to run like a skunk. The only other horse in the field that I could possibly bet into would be Kakadu with a great parade. I'm not sure it's going to get that. I just expect that they might take another run to get to its top. It's usually not a first up sort of horse, but it's data.
What are you going to do with the Victorian? So double jeopardy. Yeah. One fresh first up last prep, and I can tell you, I was doing the yard this day for myself. I think Dicko was away, and I was just doing my own stuff, and my phone's crashed at race 9 of the day. My phone's crashed halfway through doing the yard, so I've gone, oh, crap, there was one I really liked, but I don't know which number it was, and I've started to do it again on my computer, and I didn't get through all the numbers. It wins at 100-1. I get home, and I couldn't have given it a better bloody rating if I wanted to. So if it parades really well, I have a feeling you'll find it.
It's interesting because the two that we're mentioning there are Gate 10, Gate 11. Illustrious Tycoon's got Gate 10. I think it still finds
both go forward though, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So in that case, I want to be with Illustrious Tycoon. But again, that's the race that I'm not necessarily going to be taking early odds in. The only other horse that I was keen to follow from its last start was Capanda, and it gets Bar Shoes off today or off on Saturday. Mm. Damien Oliver to ride. That's the horse of interest for me if it's not going to be one of those other two that we've mentioned. But for me, that's a yard race, but it's a very good race. I think we'll get a result. We'll be able to have a bet in that race for sure, and hopefully we get the result.
Perfect. Well, Peter, I think we've covered enough. I think we've given the punters a good little insight into the two states, and hopefully the team goes really well from Victoria, New South Wales, and WA on the weekend.
Exactly right, Drew. It should be, well, I'm looking forward to actually Rob tomorrow night. That's what I'm really looking forward to. I'll be doing a bit of form for Geraldton because I'll be up there on Sunday for Sky, and I just can't wait to have a bit of Rob Scurry, Mounting Yard Mail from Canterbury. I can't wait. So things that makes your Friday nights all worthwhile.
I mean, I look forward to those Friday nights, definitely, but I just can't wait to the Sundays when I keep hearing, oh, Pete, can you give us those numbers again? 4, 3, 7, and 6, you know, like three times before the race.
Just to quickly point out to the punters as well, typically those numbers I have to submit before I even see them in the yard. So if I start pushing things or talking about elevating something in my numbers, that means that's probably the one that I'm going to be chucking a few dollars on. But having said that, most of the meets on a Sunday, they're not going to be great sort of horses anyway. So I'll try and give as much information when I'm doing Sky as if I'm writing a text, so to speak. Yep. I want to try and say, I like this, I like this, I don't like this, I want to have a bet on this. And we'll go about it that way.
Perfect. I like the little lead-ins you give, and you gave me a little $26 winner last week, so that was perfect.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was $26 on the fare.
Eights out to 26s.
Oh, I couldn't believe it. Anyway.
Looking forward to it, mate. Have a good one. Go well.
Go well, Drewsy.
Bye.